don't really like who you are, always felt like being different was a bad thing, you guys aren't alone. And it's time to stop hating on yourself and learn to rock your awesome, even if you're a little bit different. You know, this week we're chatting about learning to love yourself and all your quirks. We're chatting with August McLaughlin, the amazingly awesome and quirky chick behind Girl Boner. So rise up and embrace your not so inner weirdo.
Well, hello and most welcome to the show, August. It's so good to have you.
I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me, Ashley.
Awesome. For you guys that don't know about August out there, she is the awesome chick behind Girl Boner, which, as you can kind of tell from the title, is an interesting topic. Could you tell us a little bit about your show, August, and how that all got started for you?
Sure. My Girl Boner journey started actually back in sex ed in grade school initially. I grew up in Minnesota, where you are, and in a community that was quite, you know, a lot of communities don't talk about sexuality, but I think especially in the community I was in, it wasn't talked about. And in sex ed, we learned about male pleasure, but we didn't learn anything good at all about females. We learned about cramps and, menstruation, basically. And so I kind of had this question in my head for years. What about girl boners? As soon as I found out what a guy boner was, I wanted to know, like, what about ours? So fast forward to after high school, I actually started modeling and took a contract in New York and did the thing overseas, Paris and all that. And meanwhile, I developed a very serious eating disorder. And I ended up during treatment realizing that in order to really heal, I had to embrace my full self, including my sexuality. So that actually played a huge role in the rest of my life because it dawned on me that you can have sex without ever embracing that part of yourself. And once I did, my whole world opened. So I ended up, after I fully recovered, past tense, I'm fully healed from all that, thank goodness, I pursued acting, which I was very passionate about. That led to writing. Writing led to a blog series. I wanted to do something with Girl Boner, and I didn't know what. And so I started it on my blog thinking, you know, this is a good way to build a platform for a book, and it's become my whole world. And within about a year to a year and a half, I was starting to do radio interviews on other people's shows. And I did an interview with Lisa Masterson, Dr. Lisa, who was on the doctor's show for a long time. She's wonderful. I was on her show, and her producers called me afterwards, and they're like, you know, do you want to have your own show? Because we think you're onto something with this. And they were so supportive. And that was about, gosh, I'm terrible with dates, but it was January of 14. So it's, what's that, a year and a half ago?
Yeah, about a year and a half. That's awesome. And you know, that's so funny how things like that start from when we're kids. Because I don't know about you, I guess, but you know, for me growing up, I was always a little bit different. You know, for me, that kind of, you know, that history for me, it was self-hate because I didn't like being different. When you're a kid, you just kind of want to fit in, you know, and you do share that unique topic that you're passionate about. So what was it like growing up realizing that, okay, this is a little bit different, but I'm really excited about this. And how did you learn to embrace that growing up?
No, it's interesting because I sort of had these sort of mixed feelings. We all want to be accepted and have friends and all that. But I also I felt very different kind of inherently. And I think a lot of creative types just do, especially I grew up in a family where, a wonderful family, still very close to them. I have four siblings and my parents were all, they're wonderful people. But I had a very different personality and I was just, my mom said that I was like hyper from the womb, whereas my siblings were a lot more, tame in their energy. And so I made up this story in my head that I was from this other island, planet called Cookie Island. And that I was, it's like this very, I won't go into it all. It would take me hours or days, but, I really convinced myself. I thought I was adopted, which I think a lot of kids kind of, you know, especially if you're kind of the bohemian kid. But I'm also the middle child, like smack dab almost in the middle. And so I wanted to be different. So it's that weird sort of mix. And I think a lot of us struggle with that throughout our lives of worrying what other people think, but also wanting to be unique. And so I actually was fine with being different until that lovely time of life called adolescence when things yeah. got all wonky in my head and I'm not learning anything about my body and was going through some stuff at home. My mom was struggling with depression and it was a really challenging time, especially when we moved to suburbia from a very culturally diverse area of St. Paul. And I started to feel different in an ugly sort of way, like ugly physically and emotionally. And it actually took, first what happened, I think that helped me, my saving grace in my teens was theater and music. I found an escape in the arts. And then I was very passionate about modeling when I started, but over time, because I'd had these deep-rooted body image issues, which I think really are about embracing our authentic selves. It's never really about vanity. So
absolutely.
It took a long time, but I think we're all in a process and all in a journey, but I noticed that every time I step into myself more, especially when it's a little scary, the rewards are the greatest.
Absolutely. I think fear is something that paralyzes so many people. And it's actually something that I've been struggling with the last couple of weeks here, which is so funny. People listen to the podcast like, oh, she's got her stuff together. But that fear, you just have to learn to embrace your journey, like you said, to your authentic self and say, this is more important to me than being scared into just standing still. And, you know, I shared with you as well, and some of my listeners as well, I have an eating disorder history as well. So that whole weird headspace and not liking yourself for the inside out, that's a very real struggle. And depending on the players in your world at that time, that really can, you know, develop the outcome of how well you make it through that phase of your life. And not everybody has to develop an eating disorder to struggle with self-esteem issues. But I loved when you said, you know, that journey to your authentic self. I think a lot of people don't worry about being authentic. They get lost in the trying to fit in part. And that's what the Quirky Inspired podcast is all about, is helping them find that path to that authentic self and stuff like that. And, you know, they have people like us who've tripped along the way and gotten back up and been able to do it again, you know, to kind of say, hey, these gals have done it, so maybe it's possible for me to get there too.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think you're right that people don't have to go through struggles, especially not life-threatening. You know, we don't
yeah.
have to go, hopefully we don't go through all that, because I feel very lucky that, and I'm sure you do too, that we've gone through it and made it out onto the brighter side. But I don't think we do. I think that's why we tell stories. And that's one thing I really love about your show and your mission. I think it's so important to really embrace that about ourselves.
Yeah, it's something that I can't speak for you, August, but for me, it's something that, okay, I got through all that. And a lot of times, especially with the media is such a huge presence, and you see things where people are like, oh, well, they got through that because they make a lot of money or they're a celebrity. Or I wanted to show real people like you and me that have gone through hell and made it through the other side to be the awesome individuals that we are right now. And, you know, if we can do it, hitting that rock bottom, that there's always hope for people that have yet to take that journey to finding that authentic self and learning to accept them for who they are. And those weird little quirks and stuff like that. You know, let that message be out there that it's not easy, but it is doable. And, you know, you and I are both proof of that. That's really just the whole point, is to get that, the more you can get that message out there, you know, even if it's only to 10 people and, you know, 50 people the next month, the more and more you get it out there, the more hopefully people can realize that we can reach who we want to be. You know, it's never too late to start, you know, going on that journey, whether you're 15 or 45 or 65, you know, there's always time to make that change.
Absolutely. And it's interesting what you said about hitting bottom. I think, you know, because when people hear your story and my story, I think they hear they hit bottom and therefore they bounced up and then everything was good. But actually, as you know, it takes so much work to get, you don't actually do the most fulfilling passion work of your life straight out of that. It's,
right.
It's this huge, huge effort and constant. And I think that that gives us a lot of empathy for one thing, which is so important for the kinds of work that we do. But we really have to work to get to that middle ground, that place that is strong and stable and healthy, which hopefully that's where a lot of people are. They're just a little confused or like, I really want to live my dreams, but, you know, there's these barriers in the way, or maybe they don't know what they are. But even being passionate about finding out who you are is something I think we always need to be hungry for.
Absolutely. And I used to be one of those people that was the pessimist, and you know, you would watch these inspiring videos and people talk about their passions and their lives and how much they love themselves, and I'd be like, yeah, right, whatever, you're a fluffy bunny and that's so great for you. And the funny thing is, though, is the more that you're on this journey, the more that you do accept that authentic self, the more you start to realize that attracts more authenticity, that attracts people for people who that have that passion for life, or they're on that, you know, the same level that you're on in that journey trying to figure stuff out. And then all of a sudden, it's not that things just kind of work out and you know, you ride off into the sunset, but you do start to see that progress. You do start seeing the crap fall away from your life a little bit at a time. And that's the part that's awesome, is that it is possible. It is something that is a work in progress. Because like you said, it's totally an up and down. I mean, shoot, even as of last week, there's times when I'm like, oh, I can't get out of bed. Oh, this project's not going to work for me. You know, I'm working so hard and everybody else is doing so much better. I mean, shoot, you got my text message, even about the podcast. Of, oh my gosh, you have 7 people listen to me and stuff like that. So you do constantly struggle, but as long as you've pick yourself back up and move forward and say, hey, you know what? I know in the long run, I'm going to be okay. As long as I'm being true to myself and kind and empathetic to those people around me and being real, that's the journey. That's the biggest part, as long as you're consistent on that part.
Absolutely. And if we get hung up on the self-doubt, it's normal to have those feelings. But if we get stuck there, or if we get stuck in a place of how do we get to that better place, or complaining or fear or all these things that are just human nature, if we get stuck there, then we miss out on these very real opportunities. I mean, it's amazing to me how these little, seemingly little experiences happen, you know, where you go to a conference and you just happen to sit down by somebody who, you know, has this opportunity that is amazing for you, or that you get to bring them an opportunity that's amazing. And it's in all the little moments in our lives and just really listening to our instinct and saying, you know what? What do I need to do today that's going to make my heart happy? That is such a more important question than what should I do? You know, what is the best or right thing? What would Tony Robbins tell me? No, just forget all that stuff and listen to yourself. Like, we know deep inside, I think, what we want to do.
Yeah, and I think you really have a good point there when you're talking about kind of pulling yourself away in as far as looking at the bigger picture, but yet at the same time, the smaller moments. When you say smaller moments, we don't mean like the fine picking that people do, that negative self-talk that people play and loop in their head. It's more of those little moments that you're like, normally you'd be so caught up with yourself, you don't take advantage of. Like a perfect example is how, you know, August and I met. We were both going to go to we both went to Blogger. We reached out that, you know, there were some podcasters going to be there. And we actually never had a chance to meet in person, but we kept in touch online. And, you know, we found out we've had some great things in common. We're both really, you know, positive and passionate about getting forward with things like body positivity and self-esteem and just finding something that you're passionate about. And had we missed that little moment, we wouldn't be talking right now. You know, just something that was a little blip in a chat room somewhere that we both paid attention to. And that is what life is about, is slowing down, getting out of your own head a little bit, and paying attention to what's around you. Because when you get that anxiety and that self-doubt and that self-hate loop going on, you really can't see anything else around you. And it's really hard when you don't take that break to pull yourself out of that horrible loop that you just kind of keep beating on yourself. And you miss out on a lot of really amazing opportunities in life.
That is very true. And I love that you said slow down, because that is one of the biggest challenges I've ever faced in my life because of what I told you before about being very, very hyperactive. I didn't even nap when I was a toddler. So you can imagine,
your poor mother.
I know. I really appreciate her more and more. And but it's very interesting to me because sleep was just not my strong suit for years and years and years. And I finally decided to prioritize, you know, figuring that out. And it wasn't like I was at a very healthy place. I was in a happy relationship. I'd met my husband. I was not dealing with depression or eating disorders or anything. I was loving my career, but I wasn't sleeping. I was just thinking all night or wanting to do other things. But I noticed it was hurting my work. I was tired. I just couldn't rest. And so I prioritized rest. And it started with active rest, which was much more appealing to me than sit still and oh, and that whole thing. But I actually did learn to meditate almost a year ago. And I'm not kidding. It'll be like 5 minutes. 5 minutes, maybe 10. Every once in a while, it's like 20 or 30. And I do it kind of throughout the day, or I'll do like a meditative dog walk, or I just make myself, it's because I had to change the way I saw slowing down. It's slowing down to be more appreciative and to be more present. It's not slowing down to be like boring. It's slowing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's being more present and aware. And it's amazing to me. I actually took a whole month a few years ago and said, I'm going to do this 30-day plan that I read about where you just sort of like prioritize rest every day. And I was like, I'm not going to make any money. I'm going to just play a lot. I'm not going to get much done in my writing. And it turned out to be one of the most profitable, productive months of my life. And it taught me so much because I realized and have not, you know, I still every once in a while stray from this. Like I'll be like texting or checking email at night, which I swear I won't do. But I try really hard to make that a sacred part of my life, that I don't work when my brain doesn't work well at night. I'm not a good nighttime writer. So why write what I'm going to have to redo the next day? So it's learning all those quirks about yourself. I used to shun myself kind of for being the boring, you know, night person, because I'm not a partier at night. I don't stay up late well. And now I realize that's just who I am. There's nothing wrong with it. I stopped apologizing for that part of me, and it's opened up a lot for me.
You know, it's so awesome to hear you share those stories, because you know, in episode 2, we talked with my friend Rachel, and we talked about the stop apologizing and, you know, being who you are, because women are especially are really bad about that. And that's, I think, for me, is kind of step number one, is stop apologizing for who you are and then embracing it. And then the clarity part, we talked 2 weeks ago, actually, with Julia Cameron, who's the author of Artist's Way. And that's one thing we talked about is she added to her books the need for exercise, a 30-minute walk every day if you can. And it wasn't, I guess you could call it like that active meditation like you were talking about, because it was all about finding clarity and that slowing down. And everybody nowadays is so go, 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 and oh, we've got to do this. And, you know, whether it's with a spouse or, you know, just work or being a parent, we really don't have, you know, we tell ourselves we don't have time to figure out who the heck we are. So it's kind of no wonder so many people struggle with that and figuring out who you are and what you stand for, because we don't allow us to think that we have that time to invest in ourselves. And like you said, it can start out with 5 minutes a day. I mean, it really is amazing how much clarity you get. Even if you're just sitting there staring at a wall going, wow, this is stupid and boring, you know, eventually you're going to come across an idea where you're like, wow, I never knew I thought that way. Or when you're walking, you know, a song might pop in your head, which if you're like me, runs to this tangent thought that goes to that tangent thought. Then all of a sudden you're 5 miles down the road and you're like, oh my gosh, okay, this makes sense. So I totally, by the way, get the whole cannot sit still thing. I have ADD. I got diagnosed about 2 years ago, actually. I'm surprised, but it took that long. And yeah, sitting still is not my thing. I have to, like, as I'm podcasting, my hands are moving and all that. So I can totally relate to that kind of stuff. And it's one of those things for me that I've accepted. You know, I joke with my mom that I'm getting paid to be a jabberjaw now because I just don't shut up. It's all finding ways to make those quirks in you a strength, and rather than looking at them as weaknesses. And that's the great thing about self-discovery is finding the flip side to, you know, granted, when you're in church or somewhere you're supposed to shut up, being a jabberjaw is not such a positive thing. But when you're a podcaster or a blogger or a news reporter, it works out for you. So there's always a positive way to look at people's quirks and differences too.
Absolutely. And it's really interesting how many, like if you look back at your childhood, that's a great place to look for what are your strengths, because often we do think that they are our weaknesses, you know? And one of mine would have been being the chatterbox in school. And again, like you said, you have to learn how to channel it the right way. But all of those things, like if you just look at, we apologize for ourselves so much more than we even realize. So I think even taking an inventory for like a day, like what are the negative thoughts or feelings that you have, even if you're not actually actively saying, I'm sorry, you know, it can be little things like I learned to embrace the fact that I'm just never going to be one of those people who gets manicures and pedicures all the time and invest a lot. I want to spend 5 minutes on my getting ready because I don't have the patience. I don't care that much. And I used to feel terrible. Like I used to feel like I had to go in and get like fancy nails done for a date, for example. And it's like, who was I trying to be? There's nothing wrong with getting manicures, but that was not me. I would sit there going like, please hurry up. This is so boring. Please hurry up. I don't care. And I type and I play guitar. So why am I doing my nails? You know, it's all those little things really add up and stand in our way if we don't approach them right.
Yeah, and that's such the truth. And I love that question you posed. Who am I trying to be? And there's so many times that I don't think enough people ask themselves that question. You know, and that's a really big part of figuring out this whole stuff about who the heck am I? Where's my awesome? And how can I rock that? You know, because a lot of times we don't even realize that we're trying to be somebody that we're not. And, you know, for me, that even stuff, once you start getting into things like diet and exercise and stuff too, I mean, that even applies to things like that as well, not just your core person. Because if you want to do something, that's the biggest thing I've learned, even from when you're a baby all the way up to an adult, if you are really passionate about something and really want to do it, it's not work. You want to do it. You can't live, breathe, eat, sleep without thinking about this thing. So if that's not on that list, you know, who are you trying to please? Who are you trying to be? And how can you change that and stop doing that? How can you stop apologizing for what really is your core person? Because I don't know about you guys, but for me, when I stopped apologizing for myself and just kind of owned it, I also started finding that, you know, because at first sometimes you fear that, oh my gosh, if I'm truly who I am and say what I mean and be authentic, everybody's going to hate me. I'm not going to have any friends. Nobody's going to come around anymore. But I actually found the opposite. I found that I've had more close friendships and people who really appreciate me for who I am and what I stand for. And while I did have some along the way that fell off because they didn't like the change, but overall, my life has been so much better since I've decided, okay, this is me. I'm not trying to be anybody but me anymore.
Absolutely. And that is so huge. And you know what? We will probably piss off some people. Some people aren't going to be thrilled about it. And trust me, when I was amazed when I started Girl Boner. So I was about to launch it on my blog and I was just overflowing with excitement. I had been, it's very hard for me, I'm sure you could relate to this too, to wait for something while I am like, I'm ready to like birth this project. And I had to wait in my mind because I wanted to make sure I had applied for a trademark. And so once that was officially underway, I started because I thought, oh, everybody's going to want to trademark Girl Boner. Why would anybody have any weird feelings about Girl Boner? And then as soon as I posted the first, segment about my sex ed experience on my blog, it was only when I was hitting the publish button that I started sweating from every pore in my body. And I was like, okay, what am I doing? Because on my blog before that, Ashley, I was talking about writing, dogs, nutrition, and all of a sudden I'm like, sex toys, orgasms, let's talk about your G-spot today. And sharing some very personal stuff about me, like my experiences with sex and all this. And my dad subscribes to my blog. Like I knew. So I actually called my mom before the first post went up, and my parents have been so supportive through every career change. My three sisters all live in Minnesota, close to my parents. My brother's an artist in New York, but I'm like the one daughter who's like bounced like a ping pong ball around, and they've been so lovely and supportive. But I knew that this was like a big change, you know. And so I tried to bring it to my mom gently. I said, I talk about body image and how it's so important to embrace ourselves, and you know, it's really important that we embrace our sexuality. And you know how in sex ed, and I tried to like gently tiptoe into it, and I kind of whispered, and I was like, "It's called Girl Boner," and it was like dead silence, like. So silent. And I remember specifically, I was at the park, like walking my dog. I stopped moving. There's nothing. It felt like about 10 minutes, probably like 30 seconds. But then she just started laughing. But it was kind of like this, I couldn't quite read it. I didn't quite know what she meant. But she didn't speak against it. I knew the greatest gift my parents gave all of us kids was that they never told us who they wanted us to be. And so I knew that they would not be the people who'd like disown me, which I already have relatives who've done that, so that's no big deal. But my immediate family, they're cheerleaders, and I knew they'd be okay. I just didn't know if they'd be uncomfortable and whatever. So fast forward to that was it. They didn't. So then the next Monday, my dad, which happened to be ironically and completely incidental, on his birthday, I start Girl Boner. So he gets on his birthday an email from my subscription of my blog, you know, Girl Boner Beginnings, talking about and stuff. And so 3 months later, 4 months later, I went back home to Minnesota for the holidays. And again, nobody has said anything to me. Like, my siblings haven't said anything to me. If my sister was writing about this stuff, I would be all talking to her, right? But that's just wasn't happening. And that's kind of normal for my family. So I went back to my parents' house and they were setting up for the Christmas festivities. And my mom has lots of grandkids. So we're setting up this Santa Claus that's electronic. And she goes, go set this up and turn it on over there. And so I tried and I was struggling with it. And I said, Mom, I can't get this Santa Claus to light up. And she's like, she goes, oh, she calls me Putsu. Oh, Putsu, with all the things you write about, you could at least turn Santa on. And then she just like bust out laughing. And ever since, she's been a guest on my show. She sends me hilarious sex jokes. My dad's totally supportive. So people do get excited, even if they're not telling you, because they want you to be who you are. And I really have, I can't even begin to explain how wonderful the support has been. I have had, of course, a few trolls, but for the most part, when you step into that authentic place, even when it's controversial, especially when other people, if you're afraid of what they think, or if they're saying things to you, like people kept warning me, you're so brave, like almost this warning of this cautionary look out for things. And I was like, I'm not being brave. I'm just opening my mouth finally. I'm so excited about this. And it was really amazing to me how much support. And every time I've hit one of those blocks along the way, which trust me, there have been zillions. Whenever you're talking about female sexuality, there's so many barriers. And the support has just been overwhelming and beautiful.
And those are the kind of moments you got to cling to as well. You know, when you first started, you were talking about that, the sweating profusely moment. For me, that's like when you know that you're on the right path. When you are so nervous that you can't breathe, like you're excited, but like when you go to do it, you're like, oh my God, what am I doing? Usually that's the sign that you're onto something. You're onto that authenticity because you're so raw and out there that it makes you uncomfortable. And that's when, whether it's saying something to a friend that you wouldn't usually say, or clicking the publish button as a blogger, or you know, going for that job promotion you never thought you could get, those are the moments that make you. And those are the moments that on the backside, you're like, oh, okay, I did that. That was me. That was me making that choice, not me trying to be somebody. Because I've had a lot of those moments, especially in this last year with Quirky Inspired. It's all about teaching people to be the authentic selves and loving themselves and rocking that. You know, I always joke, you know, unless you're an asshole, because nobody likes one of those. But, you know, it's scary when you really are trying to be authentic. It is scary, but it's so rewarding because at the end of the day, people know who you are. They know what you stand for. And, you know, whether it's girl boners or inspiring creativity like we do on Quirky Inspired, they know what to expect. And I find so many people come up here and they find it refreshing because you don't play those games. You are who you are and without any sugar coating on it. And, you know, it's exciting to people too because they see, you know, they hear your story, August, and say, wow, you know, if she can talk about girl boners for all the world to see and her family is supportive of it, which is a really sensitive topic, why can't I go for that promotion? Or why can't I wear that blazer that I think I love, but I've been told I shouldn't? You know, and that's the thing what life is about, is finding those little pieces to inspire you to get the guts until you have the guts on your own. You know, and that's honestly how I've gotten to where I am, is you just take those little steps at a time, get outside of that comfort zone. And as much as it sounds like an inspirational BS meme that you would see on Facebook, progress and happiness is not in your comfort zone. I wish it was, because I am mainly an introverted person that kind of forces myself to be an extrovert. But yeah, all this progress that I've made in my life was not in the form of sitting comfortably where I was. I don't know if you can relate to that part, August.
You know, I can. It's interesting. It's I'm very comfortable with putting myself out there, and I'm comfortable with adventure versus like stable, secure jobs. Like that's always been comfortable for me. The part of, I'm much more fearful, I guess, if somebody said you must have this day job, for example, which is just speaking about who I am. Everybody is different in that way, but there will always, what happens is you develop this muscle of butterflies being comfortable. So yes, it's scary, but when we hear fear and nervousness and that it's going to be uncomfortable, I think people need to know also that it might be uncomfortable, but it's going to feel really good at the same time. So there's this really crazy mix. It's very intoxicating. It's kind of like when you're first falling in love with somebody. It's terrifying because you're so vulnerable. You're probably nervous. You feel a little nauseous, but there's no place you'd rather be. I mean, it is like this glowy, beautiful place, and there are challenges, absolutely. But the thing that gets easier is the muscle that you work with it, and you keep challenging yourself. But as you said earlier in the show, so poignantly, what we love doing does not feel so much like work. So it's a journey that we need to slowly step out at whatever pace we're comfortable, you know, find those leaps. Because I've certainly done the opposite, where I've gone way too far jumping, like marrying somebody I don't know, which is another story. But not
more we have in common.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, we make these, sometimes when we leap blindly with absolutely no thought or very strong misperceptions or out of stubbornness. When we're jumping out of stubbornness, for me at least, that is my cue. Like if I'm like, I need to post this. If it was Girl Boner and I was like, it had to happen at that very moment and there was no way I'd wait another day and blah, 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 I'm super stubborn. That would have been a sign to me that, okay, what's going on with me that I'm so uptight about this the particulars? You know, it's more having these conceptual ideas and adventures and this flexibility with it. So some people, I think it's finding that balance between, which balance is always a weird word, but between, you know, taking a step. For some people, it is many, many small steps. And some people really like to take some larger ones. But find those steps that are uncomfortable, but not uncomfortable in a way that feels unpleasurable. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, absolutely. So the beginning to find that yourself, you know, I use the phrase rocking your awesome, is slowing down. We talked about that before. And finding that next place you can put that line that you're slightly uncomfortable. And then eventually, like August just mentioned, eventually, guys, you will, that line will become comfortable. And then you can move it a little bit more. And then you can move it a little bit more. And it's not talking about changing who you are. It's just most of the time people live in this comfort zone to, quote unquote, protect themselves, you know, because they're afraid of rejection or whatever your journey or story may be. But by saying, okay, I know I want to, we'll say, go back to school. But right now, oh, I can't. I don't know how. I wouldn't know what to do. I'd fail, or all those messages that people say in their heads. And then when you say, okay, I'm going to slow down, and instead of saying I can, I'm going to say I can. And then I'm going to put that line a little bit further away. That's not changing who you are. That's challenging yourself to get to be the person you know you can be and getting out of your own way. And that's how you figure out who the hell you are and what you stand for and where you want to be in your life. And then once you get beyond that fabulous stuff, you can go to find out what you're passionate about. You know, because the first thing you have to figure out is who you are. You know, for me, it took a long, long time to do that. You know, I always had a shifting idea of who I was based on the company that I kept. And like August mentioned earlier, that whole, you know, who am I trying to be? I honestly probably didn't stop that until about 10 years ago. So that's what, 26 years old. So yeah, you just push that line a little bit more and, you know, listen to people that challenge you. For me, I don't know about you, August, but I love surrounding myself with people that keep it real and challenge me, that tell me when I'm being an ass, or tell me when I'm being too hard and critical on myself, and you know, you're gonna rock it and go do your thing. I find having a good balance of people around you as well that are honest but brutally honest and also loyal helps along that journey as well.
Absolutely. And you mentioned earlier attracting those people, and what's awesome, one of the best parts about following your passion and even if it is finding what that passion is, you end up meeting the most incredible people, but only if you start, you know, saying no when you need to and putting up, it's having those safe barriers too, where those people you're talking about, your tribe, the ones who, if they're challenging you, it's out of a place of love versus, you know, accusatory or out of jealousy or something weird like that. And so you have this beautiful troop of people that you are on fire with and who support you and who you can go to with your stuff. But you only get those people if you keep taking those little steps you were talking about, and also doing things like, you know, the person who's always making you feel like crap with everything you post on Facebook, but you keep friends with him because you knew him, when he was 7, and you're afraid you'll run into him again. And, you know, I think a lot of women struggle, I certainly do, with that wanting to please other people and not to disappoint them. And what we need to realize is that following our passion is the least selfish thing we can do, because I'm so much better, and I'm sure you can relate to this, as a person and as someone who's giving and helping people, when I really learned that happiness, my own happiness, really was the first thing that had to happen. Like, it's the whole gas mask thing. You have to put on yourself first Yep. before you help other people. And that cliche is very true.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we talk a lot about the self-care and things like that, because the fact is if you're not in a healthy spot, you don't know who you are, you're feeling lost, you know, sometimes things like depression and anxiety come along with that. You're not as available for everybody else that needs you. So by putting them first, you're actually doing less of a favor for them, because you're not as available as you should be. And that's one thing that if I could browbeat into Quirky Inspired readers and listeners' heads, is that your time is precious. You need to pick what you do and who you do it with, and treat it like a gold, like a commodity, because there's only so much time that we have, and we need to make sure that we're number one on that list, because if we don't, we don't have those resources that we need to give as much as we want to give to the people that we care about, because we're burnt out, we're uninspired, and we're just frazzled. And a lot of that times that just leads to anxiety. And, you know, sometimes you end up, you know, walking in a corner with some vodka somewhere.
Yeah, that's very true. And I think also for me, how I got to the place where I could practice kindness with myself actually really did come from practicing. Sometimes we have to have kindness that we're giving at the same time. I learned a lot from animals. And I say that my first dog really saved my life, because she... taking care of an animal, I mean, there's nothing like it. I feel like the love that they give, and having, especially anybody who's gone through an eating disorder. I was a nutrition therapist for 8.5 years at a recovery center. And one of the most powerful treatment forms for them was animal therapy. And I totally get that. I feel like when you're around kindness, and if there are people out there listening who are thinking, I really struggle with that, and I can tell myself to be kind to myself, but I'm still going to put other people first. Sometimes it does take, you know, giving, but giving and knowing that you're also going to give to yourself. It's one of those kind of crazy things, because we feel so like we have to help everyone and make everybody feel better. And like you said, we're no good to other people if we do that.
Right. And it starts, like we mentioned before, this basics, it's not rocket science. What it is it's slowing down. So start taking a look at your life and say, okay, what's got to go? You know, what's one little thing that my world would not end if I got rid of? And two, it's baby steps. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not something that, you know, I decided all of a sudden, woohoo, I don't have an eating disorder anymore. I love myself. I'm awesome. You know, it takes work. But pencil yourself in. Like 5 minutes a day. That's what I challenge you guys out there. 5 minutes. You can't tell me, even if it's locking yourself in that bathroom with your favorite magazine for five little minutes, I can guarantee, well, I can't guarantee you, but I'm pretty sure out there that your house is not going to burn down. The children are not going to run amok any more than they normally do when you're not locked in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And eventually you'll start to find that, like August mentioned about taking that time when it was her most productive month. That's not lip service. I've seen it happen in my life. You know, last week I was burnt out from heck. I mean, I was stressed out. I was not wanting to get out of bed. My fibromyalgia was acting up. And, you know, I was watching on Facebook and everybody else getting these awesome opportunities, just totally craptastic week. And the funny thing is this week I've made short little lists and short goals and taking care of myself. And you know what? This week has always already been that much more fabulous. And it's because at the end of it, I'm like, you know what, Ashley, I know, you need to take that time, because when you do, you feel so much better, you get so much more done, you have so much more to give other people, and it all starts with those little baby steps, you know. So I challenge you guys this week to take that 5 minutes every day for yourself. I'm challenging you too, August, if you haven't been doing it.
You know, I think we always need reminders, and because otherwise, well, if we don't give ourselves reminders, or if we don't nurture it regularly, then we burn out, and then we have massive migraines for days or whatever. So, no, I appreciate that. I'm doing okay at the moment, but I have certainly had some times recently where I have had to say, you know what? Because what I struggle with is I start feeling guilty, like I'm cheating on one project because I'm focusing on another one, or I'm not getting everything done at the right pace or whatever. And I have to consciously tell myself, you know, just slow down and just focus on whatever you're supposed to focus on. The timing will work out, and nobody's going to be all freaked out because we put so much pressure on ourselves. And it's like, wait a minute, I want to enjoy today. Like I'm living a life that I adore, and I have all of these wonderful passions I get to play with. So even when there's something stressful happening, I try to be very conscientious about stopping myself and saying, you know what? Whatever that challenge is, look at all of the wonder in your life. Like, practice gratitude and pay it forward and give where you can from a place of, you know, self-strength and authenticity. It's very powerful.
It is. And that, you know, that's so... you're blessed when you get a chance to dabble with all those projects. But I know a lot of people out there can totally relate when they put one down, you know. And August, I just wanted to say that, you know, it's been so awesome to have you on the show today. You know, our listeners are going to be pumped. I know they are once they listen. You guys need to listen to the first episode of Girl Boner. I've listened to several of her episodes, and in that one episode is a great, oh my God, you're so right moment that I think a lot of girls that went through sex ed in school system can totally relate to. But I want to know for our listeners, what's up? What's the next thing coming up for you, August? What are you going to be up to soon?
Oh my goodness. Well, my show is going really well. I record live every Wednesday, and now we've added film. So my in-person guests, you can also check out on YouTube. That's brand new. I only have a couple episodes up, which is very fun. And I have a nonfiction book coming out in the next 2-3 months, probably. I don't have all the specifics yet, but it's an empowering book about female sexuality, and so excited about that. So those are my two, I guess, my big babies that I spending the most time with right now. And I just love it so much. I meet the most incredible people, and you know, just the experiences, what's beautiful is one thing leads to another thing. So I'm very excited to see where it all leads me.
Well, that's amazing. And I will make sure to have those in the show notes as well, so people can find out how to listen to Girl Boner. And once your book, more detail comes up, I'll update that so they can check that out too. But as always, it's amazing to chat with inspiring women like you. So keep doing what you're doing, and we'll talk to you another time.
Thanks so much for having me.
That's this week's show. Thanks so much for listening, guys. If you love what you heard, share it with your friends. Give them a kick-ass boost this week. You know, you can also subscribe to us on iTunes. Love us a lot. Leave a review so others can find the show too. And so you guys know, this week I'm recouping from my trip to Canada, first trip ever out of the United States. So we'll be back in 2 weeks. After that, join us on Wednesdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. Until then, forget normal. Be quirky.